Hello, you're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankowitz, and it's Tuesday, June 24th. With differing opinions over the intent of a proposed ordinance versus its possible real-world impacts, a majority of the Astoria City Council rejected an ordinance on Monday that would have temporarily banned people from parts of Astoria if they broke certain laws. City councilors voted 3-2 against a proposed ordinance to create enhanced enforcement zones in downtown Astoria and other neighborhoods. Critics argued the ordinance unfairly targeted Astoria's unhoused population. City councilors Vance Lump, Andy Davis, and Andrea Mazzarella generally echoed this concern and said they felt the ordinance would not fix the problems people hope it would solve. Mayor Sean Fitzpatrick and City Councilor Elizabeth Adams voted in favor of the ordinance. Fitzpatrick said the intent was to target bad behaviors, not individual people. He also believed the ordinance could cause people to re-examine their behavior. Adams said she felt she needed to speak to the needs of the downtown district she represents. Business owners in particular had urged the city council to enact the ordinance to address what they say are growing issues downtown, most of them referencing homeless people in that area. At the end of the meeting, Davis asked that the city make time in the future to re-examine aspects of Astoria's camping ordinance and to work with police and the municipal court judge to better understand the difficulties in enforcing laws downtown. Mazzarella, Fitzpatrick, and Adams all vocally supported these requests. While the concept of exclusion zones had been discussed in the past, recent meetings marked the first time a proposal was formally in front of the City Council. A major road funding proposal before the Oregon legislature is likely to get last-minute changes in order to win over skeptical lawmakers. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
House Bill 2025 is a centerpiece of Majority Democrats' plans for this year's session. The sprawling tax bill would raise more than $14 billion for road projects in the next decade via a gas tax hike, a new tax on car sales, and much more. But Republicans and some Democrats have balked at the price tag. Now top Democrats are going back to the drawing board with days remaining in the session. The Oregon House on Monday sent the bill back to committee rather than voting on it. It's expected to see amendments legislative leaders hope will win over skeptical lawmakers. Democrats hold 3/5 supermajorities in both chambers. That's enough to pass taxes on their own if they can hold together. But unanimity has been hard to find. One Senate Democrat, Mark Meek, was removed from a key committee last week because he didn't support House Bill 2025. Another Democrat, State Representative Vanessa Hartman, described the bill as, quote, insane tax increases. In Salem, I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
In some of Oregon's least populated areas, emergency responders are few and far between. That's why rural public safety agencies are increasingly training volunteers to help respond to people in need. Jennifer Baedis reports.
On New Year's Day in 2023, Eric Kerr planned to ride a snowmobile to the rim of Crater Lake in South Central Oregon, but he never made it.
I hit the tree dead between the skis. My torso went forward. My head missed the tree somehow.
Thrown off the snowmobile, he landed in a snowdrift off trail and out of sight of his fellow riders.
My leg was snapped. I'm just like freaking out. I'm like, great. Like, nobody's going to see me.
But Kerr was luckier than most who find themselves injured in Oregon's backcountry. Riding behind the group happened to be EMT James Wilson, who's also the fire chief of Crescent, Oregon.
Came across him, did a quick patient assessment, saw that, there was definitely a potential fracture going on there. A lot of pain.
Even with the good fortune of being found right away, it took over 4 hours to get Kerr to the nearest hospital in Bend. Thick fog meant going by helicopter wasn't an option.
Couldn't get an air resource out of either of those locations.
From Crescent in Klamath County, Wilson's EMS crew covers over 1,000 square miles. During busy holiday weekends, the population can surge to over 10,000 people.
We are getting so much busier as a small agency, and we're struggling with it, but so far we're keeping pace.
Roughly 70% of Oregon's ground ambulance service areas are in rural communities like Wilson's. He says the calls for service to Crescent Fire have tripled in the last 5 years. And the response time in even more rural settings can be hours. Once first responders get there, they often need to transport people to a hospital as quickly as possible. And oftentimes, that's by air ambulance.
AirLink 1, Lake County, good afternoon. I'm about 4 minutes out from your location, looking for LV inpatient update.
AirLink is an air ambulance service based in Bend. Paul Perlmutter is a flight respiratory therapist with the private company, and he says they transport patients who aren't always that critically sick or injured.
Sometimes the less critical but still needs to get to Bend, we will go fly just to help alleviate the stress on the EMS in that system.
But one patient said a 7-minute helicopter ride cost her $40,000 in bills. And emergency responders would like to avoid using costly air resources when they don't have to. Yet, there is no state-mandated tax base to fund ground EMS. Rural ground ambulances are often run by just one or two paid staff and unpaid volunteers. Lately, rural agencies in Central Oregon have been working together to build up that volunteer base.
Thank you all for coming, and it's going to be kind of organized chaos. I'm Sue from North Lake County EMS.
In April, North Lake County EMS and AirLink co-hosted a training for over half a dozen rural EMS agencies.
All right, we're heading to the truck.
Outside, actors pose as if they've just been in a car wreck. A woman is draped over a steering wheel, a passenger lies against the door frame, and a child in the back is slumped over in a booster seat. Marta Giroux with AirLink helped organize the simulation.
The EMTs are going to ask them questions, and they're going to say, well, I'm feeling nauseated, my neck hurts.
EMT student Katie Lossing leans into the driver's side window.
Hey, how you doing? I'm Katie.
Hi.
How you feeling?
My head hurts.
Your head hurts? Can you show me where?
Some rural EMS agencies are entirely made up of volunteers. Chris Jones is a retired paramedic from Lapine who volunteers for Crescent Fire.
Rural areas need extra people. Anybody that's truly here years upon years, it's a love for the job, a love for the rural community.
And the unpaid effort is appreciated, especially by people like Eric Kerr, the snowmobiler who broke his leg 2 years ago. He's healed up now and just recently returned to the backcountry to finish his trip to Crater Lake. I'm Jennifer Baitis, reporting.
You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org/news. To contact us at the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org. Thanks as always for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.